Good morning. Are there people out there? Good morning. All right. Welcome to the Lake Hazel Bible Church family reunion. We are so grateful that you've chosen to be with us today. How many of you are with us?
I'm with you, buddy.
All right. Sounds like you're all individuals this morning. All right. So if you are a guest with us, thank you so much for choosing to be with us this morning. And when you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by. That would be such a help to us. Or you could just leave it on the information table out here in the foyer. That would be great. And hopefully you also received a bulletin, and hopefully everybody else that came in for the family reunion this morning received a bulletin. Did you? If not, please make sure that you grab one. So let's open it up and let's kind of take a look at some of the things that are going on. And not a whole lot is going on this week because, number one, it's summer. Number two, it's a holiday week. But Wednesday, we have leadership team meeting at 6:30 here at the church. So, guys, I hope that you have that on your calendar, those of you that are leaders, so that we can gather together to be able to continue to provide leadership for our wonderful church family that has chosen to gather here this morning. Lots of other announcements in the bulletin. I'm not going to take the time to go over each one of those, except for the fact next Sunday is church family dinner. Woohoo! Right? And there's no theme. So you can bring whatever you want. Bring a main dish and a salad or dessert. Just remember, you're bringing enough to share with the rest of the church family that chooses to stay. You're not just bringing enough for yourself. And so just want to make sure that you understand that. So lots of other things in the bulletin. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. So I'm going to call up a couple people today because they're both here all on the same day. So Gavin, come on up here. Sarah, come on up here. So I didn't give them any warning I was going to do this. But that's okay. I don't need to, right? Welcome back. How are you?
Good.
Missed you and your family while you were gone. So these two individuals just in the last few weeks competed in national contests. Gavin in Atlanta, Georgia, and Sarah in Maryland. Is that right? Okay. All right. So Gavin, for his part of his senior project, I think, if I get the story right, created, along with a partner from his class, created a video game. And they entered it into the regional competition here in Idaho, and it won first place. So he got to go to Atlanta to be able to have it entered into a national contest. And so why don't you tell them how you did in the national contest? 17 out of 25, okay? And so, and you didn't copy another video game that's out there on the market. You created this all by yourself, right? Okay, all right. So the sad thing is some of the ones that were entered in this national contest were just kind of recreations of games that are already out there, correct? So that was kind of sad. But anyway, good job, right?
Yeah.
So Sarah, she wrote an essay, is that right?
No.
It was a what?
An exhibit board.
She put together an exhibit board. And she won first place here in Idaho. Second place.
Yeah.
Second place. Okay. I like first place better. Second place here in Idaho, which allowed her to be able to go to Maryland to be able to compete in a national contest. And so I don't even know this news. So tell us how you did. Good. All right. That's great. So, you know what? Sometimes we look at the world or we hear on the news that our world is falling apart and our country is falling apart, and we hear preachers say, we don't know what the future is going to look like of our church or of our nation or of our state. I think we're in pretty good hands, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're in pretty good hands. With kids like this, I think we're in really good hands. All right, well, I wanted to make sure that I let your church family know about what you were doing and how things went, and so because we've been praying for you as you were gone doing that. All right, you guys can go take your seats. So last week we talked about the fact that worship isn't just music, right? Remember that? How many of you were here? Okay, all right, good. Some of you are going, well, I was here, but I don't know that I remember that. It's okay, all right? We all have broken rememberers, okay? So, right? So worship is more than music. Worship is prayer. Worship is giving. Worship is hearing the word of God. Worship is serving. Worship is gathering together. All of those things are aspects of what we do as worship. So with all of that in mind, how many of you are ready to worship? Not just sing, but ready to truly worship this morning. How many? All right. So, worship team, it's all on you now.
Would you all stand with me this morning? We're going to sing about how great our God is. Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. A faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. Lord, we are here for you today. We are here to worship you and you alone. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are over all. You are the God deserving all praise, all glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, so let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Come on. Oh, take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.
Lord, you are worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor today. We lift our hands, we lift our voices, we lift our hearts to you, and we sing, glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Lord, you are worth it. You're worth all that we have to give. We pray in your mighty name, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. I hope you came ready to worship, because he is worth worshiping, amen?
He's coming on the clouds, the kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Oh, so open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, and every knee will bow before Him. Before the Lion and the Lamb. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with Him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, 1,000 generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever He shall reign. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, we're going to sing one more song about our mighty King. I hope you've seen the theme this morning about our God as our King, because our true citizenship is in heaven. So as we worship one last time here with O Worship the King, O Glorious Above, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Heavenly Father, we gratefully sing about you and your love today. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the hope and the future that you've given to us. God, we love you. And we couldn't possibly give you enough praise. It'll take all eternity to just scratch the surface of praising you for what you're worth. Lord, we love you. Amen.
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light and canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. All glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. Oh, measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. You alone. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light, you shine in the light.
Amen. What a blessing. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're only going to look at a few verses. We're only going to be looking at verses 12 through 16 of Acts chapter 5. But we're going to see in just these few verses, again, the majesty of God. We're going to see the power of God. We're going to see the reason why God does what God does. And God does what he does because he's God, right? We all get that. Hopefully, we've learned that. Well, you know, you don't have to look very far to be able to come to the understanding that there's a lot of hurt and pain in our world. And it's no different in our church. There's a lot of hurt and pain. Some of you came in today burdened with problems and heavy with hurt. Someone once said, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. We don't know what's going in. Oh, some of us came in wearing our red, white, and blue because in just a couple days it's going to be 4th of July. Some of us came in and we're all happy. Some of us have come in and we're over tired because we just came from a vacation. Or we're excited because we're anticipating going on vacation in the near future. But you know what? All of us are fighting some kind of a battle. And that's why it's so important for us when we come to church to be able to greet one another, to be able to fellowship with one another, to be able to join together. That's why this is, every Sunday, a family reunion. Because within that family, we find the encouragement and the help that we need and the support. And you know, as pastor, I'm blessed when you tell me things that I can pray with you about. And as a church, we have a prayer chain, and in the bulletin, we have a prayer corner for you to share your prayer requests with our church family. And you as the church family, I hope that you take that bulletin and you pray for those who are listed and what those needs are that are listed there in the prayer corner. I hope that when the emails come for our prayer chain, that you just don't go, oh, okay, that's really sad. I really feel for that person. I hope you really take those people who ask for requests to be sent down our church prayer chain. I hope that you really spend some time bringing them before the throne of God. Because as we're going to see, one of the things that was really evident in the early church was they were interested in the needs of others. Boy, I think that's something that we need to take a look at as well. And I've been thinking about lately some of the prayer requests that have shown up in our prayer corner, in our bulletin, and some of the prayer requests that have gone down our prayer chain. Not that I'm checking up on the people that are responsible for the prayer corner and the prayer chain, but it's just interesting. Some of the most prominent requests are relationships, jobs, illness, surgery, healing. Those are things that people in our church family are burdened with. And we have an opportunity to be able to join them in prayer for those burdens that life has brought their way. Well, the last time we were in Acts, we tackled a tough text from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Remember that? We talked about two people that were caught in the trap of being hypocrites. And we talked about how it's interesting that in the early church, the first sin that God tells us about that came into the early church was the sin of what? Being a hypocrite. Interesting. You ever heard anybody say, well, I would go to church except for the fact that there's hypocrites there? You know what I tell people when they tell me that? Well, come and join the rest of us. Because remember, we talked about all of us in some way or another, we're all pretenders. Remember, we talked about the fact that in some way or another, we all wear masks. And one of the ways that we wear that mask, one of the ways that we pretend is we don't let people get too close to us because we don't want them to see that we're really needy. We don't want them to see that we really are burdened. We don't want them to see that we really have issues that we deal with, whether they be physical or whether they be other kinds of issues. And we discovered, though, that in spite of being caught in the trap of being a hypocrite, that the fear, the reverence of God, remember that word in the Bible, fear, most of the time talks about God's reverence, us reverencing God. And we talked about the fact that reverencing God means we keep God in his proper place. We keep him in that place to where we can honor him and glorify him and worship him. We don't bring him down to that which is common. Remember, we talked about that. And we talked about how that reverence of God will help us be faithful to God. And today, from Acts chapter 5, especially verses 12 through 16, we're going to see how God wants us, as a church in the 21st century, to view the early church. Hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 5 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 12 through 16. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the church, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits. And they were all what? Healed. Now, I believe that in these few verses, God has given us several portraits of the early church. And so I want to spend our remaining time together looking at those portraits. The first portrait of the early church is this. They observed the miraculous. Did you get it in verse 12? Now many what? Signs and wonders were what? Once in a while done? No, regularly done among the people. By who? The hands of the apostles. The apostles that Jesus had left the mission of God with as he ascended back into heaven. And then all of the other disciples that were to come after them were to be what? Involved in that mission as well. Remember, our focus in our study of the book of Acts is what? The mission of God. Being involved in the mission of God, knowing what the mission of God is, and then knowing that God wants every single one of us as believers, every one of us who gather together on a regular basis in church to be able to be involved in that mission. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were what? All together in Solomon's portico. Now, the first thing to notice about this is an answer to the prayer that the apostles prayed back in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, where they prayed to God, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with what? All boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Yes, these signs and wonders were being performed. They were being carried out by the apostles, but ultimately they were coming from the hand of who? And the heart of who? Jesus. So that the glory doesn't go to the apostles, the glory goes to who? Jesus. Now notice that the word signs is mentioned here. And a sign means a mark or a token given for a specific purpose. You know what that specific purpose is? To point people to God. These signs and wonders weren't done to be able to bring glory and honor to the apostles. They weren't done to show how close the apostles were to God, how strong their spiritual relationship with God was. You know, sometimes people come to me and they say, "Wow, Pastor, your connection with God is so strong." And, you know, I'm a little bit tempted to go, "Yeah, you know you're right." But if I do that, then the attention goes to who? Me. And so I always say, my connection with God isn't any stronger than yours. It just may seem that way. It just may look that way. Because ultimately, we all have a connection with God. And in that connection, God is the one who gets glorified. I'm so thankful for the worship leader that God has given to us, aren't you? Because he doesn't point people to himself, and he doesn't point people to the rest of the worship team. The rest of the worship team isn't up here for their own glory. They're up here to be able to point us as we lift our voices in praise, as we lift our hearts in song before God. To what? Honor God. To glorify God. And Jared and I have this conversation all the time. And he says, "If I ever get to the point, Pastor, to where I'm pointing people to myself, you and I need to have a talk." And I said, "Buddy, if that ever happens, you can be guaranteed you and I will have a talk." Because we're not here for us. We're here for who? God. Because even like the first church, the early church, who was involved in the mission that God had given to them, that Jesus had given to them before he ascended into heaven. We have that same mission today, even though we're in the 21st century church. The mission of God hasn't changed because the message of God hasn't changed. What's the message? That Jesus died on the cross to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. That's the mission, to proclaim the message every opportunity that we have. And you can proclaim that message. And I can proclaim that message. We can do it individually, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of business. We can proclaim it collectively when we gather together on church Sundays to be able to have that church family reunion. We get to proclaim the message of God. We get to be involved in the mission of God, just like these apostles. And the word wonders has to do with the response to these signs. And these signs were done by the hands of the apostles. Why? Because they didn't have the complete word of God like we have today. And so these signs and these wonders were given to the apostles for a very specific purpose. These signs and wonders confirmed the mission of God and the message of the gospel. These miraculous signs were designed to validate the authority of the apostles. And then when the word of God was completed, the Bible tells us those signs and those wonders, they weren't used as much by God anymore. They weren't as necessary as before the word of God became complete. And these signs and wonders were not to be sought out for their own sake, but rather to point people to Jesus. And there are 17 times in the book of Acts where it talks about signs, and every single one of them tells us that those signs led to people getting saved, not led to people being able to be puffed up because of what God was gifting them to be able to do. The second portrait is this. They gathered together. Let's go back to verse 12. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were, what? All together. Oh, there was a few of them that were together in Solomon's portico. Is that what it says? What's the word? All. They were all together. So, class. I haven't done this for a long time. So, class. Does all mean all? Yes, all means all. They were all together. Where were they? In one location. What was that location? Solomon's portico. You know what? That hasn't changed. God expects his people to gather together in one place. That's why we have this place called Lake Hazel Bible Church, so that we can gather together once a week at least. Now, we provide many other opportunities here at Lake Hazel Bible Church for us to gather together, which are really cool things for us to be able to do. But the expectation is they were gathered all together in one place. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. So one of the defining characteristics of these believers in the early church is that they were committed to community with each other. Now, you're all intelligent this morning. I know that. And so that ought to bring about a question in our hearts. And with that question, that ought to bring an evaluation to our hearts. How committed are we to community with each other? How committed are we? Notice that they were what? All together. And as we've been studying even these early chapters in the book of Acts, we've seen that this was their habit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together. Where? In one place. They were what? All together. Does all mean all? I think so. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They were what? Day by day? Together. Now, we don't ask you to do that here in the 21st century, but we do provide opportunities for us to be able to what? Gather together. We have Bible studies. We have church family dinners. We have men's breakfast. The women have coffee connection. We have all kinds. We have various, from time to time, we have various other activities. We have church picnics. We have our New Year's Eve activity. We provide opportunities for what? Us to gather together. And I'm afraid that some people, when pastor gets up and is just filling time before the worship team's ready to be able to do their thing and goes through the bulletin, I think some people just go, yeah, oh well. Nah, that's for other people, not for me. No, it's not for just other people. It's for all who are part of the community or choose to be a part of the community called what? Lake Hazel Bible Church. To be a part of the church family. And if you don't have a church home, a place that you can regularly go, you need to find one as quickly as possible. And if you live here in the Treasure Valley, hopefully God will lead you to this place. We'd love to have you be part of our church family. If you live somewhere else and you're not in a regular place to where you can gather together with believers in community, you need to find one. You know what excites me? What excites me is when people move here to Boise from another place and they come to our church and then they say, whoa, this reminds me of the church that I used to go to. Or, wow, we've been looking for this church for a long time. I get excited as a pastor about that. And it's like, hey, come on, we're ready to welcome you in to our family. Isn't that good? And while many believers today have stopped attending church, some believers are attending church less often. That's a fact. It's a sad, sad commentary on believers. According to one study, the average number of believers who attend church today gather for a worship service only 1.8 times a month. 1.8 times a month. Now, Jared, I have a question. How do you do a 0.8 service? Okay, we're done. No, we're not. Okay. But just because he said it doesn't mean we're done. Okay. But I was looking at that statistic and I'm going, how do you do a 0.8 service? But that's what the statistic said. Listen, church family. As our culture continues to move farther and farther away from God and His Word, and it becomes increasingly difficult to live for Jesus, we need to gather more often, not less often. You need to write that down. As our culture continues to move farther and farther away from God and His Word, it becomes increasingly difficult to live for Jesus. So we need to gather more often, not less often. An unchurched believer should not be the new normal, because the New Testament knows nothing of such a person. We've been studying the book of Acts, and the book of Acts tells us not just the Acts of the Apostles, but it tells us, gives us the portraits of the early church. And the early church was what? Committed to being together. They were all together, every opportunity they had. And as I already pointed out, they met together multiple times during a week. We today don't necessarily ask you to do that. The church is the very core of the eternal purpose of God. The church is not a divine afterthought. The church is not an accident of history. The church was given by God to advance His mission for generations to come. And when we're gathered together, I get encouragement to continue my involvement in the mission of God. And you should receive that encouragement to be involved in the mission of God. But if you're not here, if you choose to only be part of our 1.8 gathering together, you're going to miss that encouragement. You're going to miss that support. You're going to miss that love. You're going to miss that community that God wants us as a church family to be able to what? To be able to have. Now, those who were part of the early church gathered together in Solomon's portico. which was a covered porch area that ran along the eastern wall of the temple. It's in this place that the lame man was healed. It was in this place where Peter and John had been arrested in Acts chapter 4, verse 3, for preaching about Jesus. Yet here they are, gathered together in this public place, in the center of the city. Now for perspective, this would be like gathering at the Washington Monument, only more so, because the temple was the religious facility for the nation of Israel. They knew when they wanted to gather together, when they needed to gather together, when they had to fulfill that purpose of gathering together that God had given to them as an early church, they knew that the place for them to be was where? The temple. As close to the temple as they could get. Another portrait of the early church was they recognized God's holiness. Did you see verse 13? None of the rest dared join them. Now the word none means not even one. And the word dared has the idea of courage. And interestingly enough, the word join is used seven times in Acts, and it means to cleave or be glued together, which is a good reminder that when we join together as a church family, we are gluing ourselves to get together with God's people. This morning, as you are here, you're glued to me, and I'm glued to you. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that great? No, don't worry. I'm not going home for lunch with you. Okay. And you can come and join us for lunch if you want. That's okay. But I'm not coming to join you necessarily for lunch. So don't panic. Okay? After hearing what happened to a couple who fell into the trap of being hypocrites, remember from the early verses in Acts chapter 5? Many unbelievers were afraid to attend this early church. They went, "Whoa! I don't want to walk in the door of that church because I might get struck dead." Have you ever heard people say, "I'd go to church more, but I'm afraid the ceiling will cave in"? You know what I tell people? We have prayer that holds our ceiling up. And if you're really worried, I think we could probably find you a hard hat, right? But these unbelievers, they heard what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira, and they went, "Whoa, no. I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to be a part of that." And they were hesitant to join with believers because of the holiness of God. Folks, can I remind you of something? When we became believers in Jesus as Savior, we were given the holiness of God. Hello, came with the package. Okay, and we carry that holiness of God with us everywhere we go. And we even bring it when we gather together on Sunday mornings for community. We even bring it with us. Or we ought to be bringing it with us. Okay? So while we want our church to be user-friendly, and that really was the desire of the early church. They wanted to be user-friendly. While we want our church to be user-friendly, I'm going to clue you in on some things. We will never water down the gospel or minimize the holiness of God just to make people happy. I have people say to me all the time, "Well, Pastor, you need to do this because it would make me happy." And I say, "I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to make God happy." We're not going to change what we know the gospel to be. We're not going to change what we believe the holiness of God according to his word is just to make people happy. In an age of reformed theology, superficial spirituality, and prosperity preaching, we will continue to proclaim that Jesus is the only way to eternal salvation. And after believing in him as Savior, we are to be the trustworthy disciples he desires us to be. We're going to believe and we're going to preach, we're going to teach, we're going to proclaim that no matter what our society says, marriage is between one man and one woman for life. And life begins at conception. And life must be valued. Now, this was an important thing for the early church, and it's an important thing for us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, in this community of believers, in this church family, here in the 21st century, because that leads us to the fourth portrait. They had a good reputation in the community. See verse 13? The people held them in high esteem. Even though some of them dared not join with them, they still were held what? In high esteem. Even though there was a hesitancy to join the first church of Jerusalem, these believers who were a part of that church were thought of favorably. Now, the phrase high esteem here comes from the Greek word to mean enlarge. And believers were looked on favorably because of how they cared for the little, the least, and the lost. Now, it's helpful for us to know the cultural setting in which these verses were written. Remember that the whole world, the whole known world at this time, was under the control of the Roman Empire. And Rome had a law called Patria Potestas, which means the father's power. By law, children were regarded as the patriarch's personal property, and he could do with them whatever he wished. A displeased dad could disown his kids, sell them into slavery, or even kill them with no consequences. When a child was born, the newborn was placed between the father's feet. If the father picked up the baby, the child stayed in the home. If he turned and walked away, the child was either left to die or sold at auction into slavery with no consequences. Now, the believers in this early church helped to change the current of their culture by their understanding of the value of children. That is the biblical view of children as treasured human beings. And that biblical view of children as treasured human beings was really an outgrowth of its most revolutionary action of all, treating all with the infinite value of every single human being has created in the image of God. This church was not afraid to go against the current of culture. As pastor here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, and as leadership of Lake Hazel Bible Church, we are committed to not go along with the current of culture. We are going to stand on the truths of God's word, because that's the example that's been given to us way back in the early church. That also brings us to the fifth portrait. Because of their view of standing on the truths of God's word and not going along with the current of the culture, look at what happened in verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. You see, God blesses when we do things His way. God blesses when we stand on the truths of God's word and not go following the flow of the culture. While being aligned with this early church was alarming to some, many others found believing in Jesus as Savior to be what they knew they needed. And this word added here is an interesting word. It is in the present continual tense, which means it was being kept on added, showing that this was happening all the time. And the word multitudes refers to a great many, a throng of people. There was explosive growth taking place in the church at this particular time. Why? Because of the church saying, we're going to stand on God's word. We're going to follow God's mission. We're going to do what it is that God and what it is that Jesus left for us to be able to do as he ascended into heaven. There was explosive growth. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there was added that day about 3,000 souls. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, but many of those who had heard the word believed. Heard the what? The word. Heard the ideas of the culture? Nope. Heard the philosophies of men? Nope. Heard the word. The word, whose word? God's word. And what happened? They believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. And not just men, but women were coming to know Jesus as Savior, coming to believe in him as Savior. And by AD 300, because of the convictions of standing on the word of God that started in the early church, by AD 300, there were millions of believers throughout the Roman Empire. In a culture which looked down on women, don't miss how Luke mentions both men and women were what? Being saved. And there are many more references to women coming to believe in Jesus as Savior throughout the book of Acts. Here's another portrait. Look at verse 15. They witnessed needs being met. Look at verse 15. So that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. Now we might read that and go, whoa, what? What's going on here? So notice the first two words, so that. Because there was a sense of the miraculous, a commitment to gather with each other, a high view of God's holiness. Believers had a good reputation in the community, and people were getting saved all the time. And those who were hurting had various needs that they were coming to what? Have met. Verse 15 tells us that the streets were filled with the sick and the suffering, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. Do you get the picture? Those who were sick were taken outside into the streets. And the word sick here doesn't just refer to physical illnesses, though it certainly does include that. But it also describes those who are vacillating in their faith, doubting, those who are weak, powerless, and without spiritual strength. Now, by the use of the description of cots and mats, helps us to see that salvation is not only for all genders, but it is for all classes of people. Because cots were soft couches used by the wealthy, and mats were used by the poor. Remember when Jesus went to the pool of Siloam? And remember he saw this man who had been paralyzed for a long time? And he was laying on his mat, which he'd laid there for decades. And remember the legend was that when the waters of the pool of Siloam began to stir, if you made your way, if you had illnesses or you had needs to be met, if you made your way into that while the water was being stirred, and there's never any explanation as to why the water would stir itself from time to time. But if you went into while the water was stirred, and if you went into that pool, you would be healed. And Jesus said, why don't you go into the water when it's being stirred? And the paralyzed guy said, I don't have anybody to help me. Nobody helps me. Everybody helps themselves. Nobody helps me. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? And the man said, no, I've been this way forever. I'm okay. Been this way for a long time. Nah, I'm comfortable. No, he said, yes. And Jesus healed him. He didn't carry him into the water. He healed him. And then what did Jesus say to him? Take up your bed and what? Walk. Now, when we think of the word bed, we think, you know, this like, you know, queen-size bed or California king bed, you know. And nowadays, the adjustable bed, you know. All this man had was a mat. Was a mat. And basically, Jesus said, just pick up your mat and just walk. And remember, the guy picked up his mat and he stood up and he what? Walked. for the first time in a long time, he used his legs, he used his feet to be able to move. Now remember, the Jewish religious leaders got real upset with Jesus because he did this, which the Jewish religious leaders should have been excited about the fact that now their responsibility of having to take care of this man was now done, because now he could take care of himself. But they weren't taking care of him. They weren't doing their responsibility. And so they got mad at Jesus because he healed this man when? On the Sabbath day. Right? Right? But all he had was a mat. That was his bed. And Jesus says, take up your bed and follow me. Those who were rich, they had cots. They had soft couches. Those who were not, they just had mats. And people esteemed the apostles so much, they felt that if they could just get in Peter's shadow, their physical and spiritual needs would be met. Now, where does that come from? How in the world did they arrive at that? Well, there was a belief in that culture that a person's shadow had power. And they would flee from an evil man's shadow, but they would seek to come into the shadow of a good man. And verse 16 shows us how much these needy people wanted to be helped. Because these people were not only from all classes and genders, but they came from all places. Look at verse 16. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits. And they all were what? Healed. They were healed. Now the word afflicted means to be harassed and helpless. And the word for healed comes from the same word that we get for service. So God is giving us a portrait here that once people were set free, they were able to serve others. Once people were set free, they were able to serve others. Folks, as believers, when we believe in Jesus as Savior, he sets us free. He sets us free from the consequences of sin. He sets us free from the power of sin. He sets us free from the punishment of sin. And one of these days, when we're in his presence, we're going to be set free from the very presence of sin. And he didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve him. And primarily by what? Serving others. That's what the mission of God is all about, is us not taking our salvation and saying, I'm content. I believe in Jesus as Savior. I know that I've received from him that wonderful gift of eternal life. I have eternal salvation, and that's good enough for me. I don't need to do anything with it. No! By the very fact of that we have salvation because we believe in Jesus as Savior, we're to serve. We're to serve God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us. And then we're to serve others. Remember what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And love your neighbor, what? As yourself. It's about others. It's about others. It's about others. We are saved to serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That comes to us because what? We believe in Jesus as Savior. So what have we learned this morning? The clearest portrait of the church includes this: miracles. The miracle of salvation for eternal life. Meetings. The gathering together of believers. Mission. Our involvement in God's mission. Serving him to what? Spread the message of the gospel that Jesus died on the cross to be the Savior of the world. And then ministry, helping believers to be God's trustworthy disciples. Father, I'm so thankful that you gave us these portraits this morning of the early church. And Father, as we have viewed these churches, may we have viewed them in light of our church. Father, may there be miracles of people coming to believe in Jesus for salvation, for eternal life. Father, may there be gatherings together of believers. Father, may we not let our calendars get so full that we can't gather together as the church you desire for us to be. Father, there's the mission, our involvement in your mission of doing what? Telling people. People that you bring across our paths on a daily basis, telling people about the fact that Jesus came to die on the cross to be their Savior. And then ministry, helping believers to be your trustworthy disciples that you desire for us as believers to be. Oh, Father, as we evaluate who we are in light of the portraits of the early church, Father, may it not be said of us that we fall short. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, would you stand with me for this last song? Let's be willing to shed a little light in our world. Amen.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord.